Support for this podcast comes from Meet and Engage. Meet and Engage is an award-winning candidate experience technology provider with three products: a chatbot solution, Timeline, which is an onboarding technology, and a live chat messaging platform. Meet and Engage provides the tools you need to digitally engage with candidates 24/7 in any location on any device to deliver the best candidate experience. Trusted by the likes of Arup, Amazon, and Diageo, Meet and Engage improves the candidate experience for clients worldwide, helping them to engage candidates throughout the recruitment journey. Find out more by visiting www.meetandengage.com and requesting an online demo today. That's www.meetandengage.com.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 262 of the Recruiting Future podcast. My strategy over the last few weeks has been to bring you content that focuses on the current crisis, as well as content that looks ahead to the future. This episode is a hybrid of both. My guest this week is Matt Jones, Senior Vice President Operations at Cielo. In our conversation, we talk about the impact Cielo is seeing the global pandemic have on the market, and how employers are adapting their talent acquisition strategies in these difficult times. We also discuss the long-term adoption and implications of AI and recruiting automation. Hi, Matt, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Could you just introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Yeah, likewise. Pleasure to be here. So, Matt Jones, I'm a leader in Cielo's global operations organization. Which means I look at people, process, and technology and how we bring those things together to provide our services for our clients and for our broader stakeholder community. So how we deliver that great experience for candidates, hiring managers, our clients as a whole, and our own people and organization. I'm 15 years plus in Cielo and approaching 20 years in the industry. So seen a fair few things over the years, and excited to talk to you today.
Fantastic stuff. So the intersection of people and technology is what I kind of really want to talk about. But I don't want to miss the opportunity to kind of ask you about the current situation. So obviously, as an organization that works with lots of different employers in many different countries, tell us about what you're seeing in the market at the moment. What's going on as we sort of navigate our way through this crisis?
Yeah. So we provide services in nearly 100 countries around the world. So this is not necessarily new to us and our client base. We obviously saw the rise of the crisis in the APAC region back in sort of January, February time, and since then, obviously, the intensification across the world. So something we've been navigating for a little while. I think from a macro trend perspective, all of the commentary that everyone has been providing around, you know, challenges and a decreased amount of hiring, the use of different schemes around the world to furlough or to release employees from employment, the rise of unemployment, all of those things, obviously, we see at a kind of macro level. I guess once you go below the kind of broad macro features of this crisis, there's kind of interesting and some additional kind of trends out there, really. So I don't think it's as simple as saying this particular region or this particular industry is affected negatively, severely negatively, or is doing okay, or actually is kind of doing well from a business perspective in this crisis. Obviously, grocery trade, those areas in certain parts of the world are actually seeing upticks in volume of sales, understandably so. Whereas if you're in hospitality, travel, or tourism, generally you're seeing a pretty negative impact and pretty challenging times. The reason I say I think it's hard to draw direct themes for broad kind of industry sectors is if you think about healthcare. So broadly, I think everyone would guess that healthcare is continuing to fight the good fight and doing okay. Those in med devices or pharmaceuticals or in healthcare provider world are contributing towards us fighting this crisis and this disease. However, if you take privately funded hospital groups in certain countries in the world, much of their revenue or funding comes from elective surgery, which of course is not being undertaken at the moment. So that has a knock-on effect to what we see happening from a hiring perspective in those organizations and in those particular sectors. So I think the first kind of thing to say below the kind of macro trend or theme is that there isn't really below that, there isn't really an individual theme or trend that we should sort of talk about. What we have been spending our time doing is talking to all of our clients around the world and making sure that we are there for them in whichever way they are kind of tackling this crisis, whether it's pausing any hiring and focusing a little bit on preparing for the recovery, whether it's pausing some hiring and focusing on how they can better deploy internal talent around the organization to help keep their business moving and also in some cases contribute towards us fighting this terrible crisis, or whether that is supporting them as they close down much of their hiring for a period, but supporting them with their employer brand to make sure that we keep the messaging for that organization strong amid this crisis, and that actually as we start to recover and these organizations need to bring additional talent back into their organization, they're ready and the message has been there and we've managed that experience of those potential employees for the future. There's no doubt that overall organizations are hiring less. we've seen extremes for organizations kind of closing down all hiring, reviewing start dates and entry dates for people into the organization, whereas at the other ends there are certainly some organizations that are increasing their hiring, folks who are involved in critical infrastructure, folks who are involved in providing some of those healthcare services or in that supply chain. So again, I think the broad macro theme is that overall organizations are challenged and having to look critically at their employee base and their hiring needs and how they better use the resources they've got or how they manage the resources they don't need in today's environment. Below that, I think you have to look at each individual client, each individual organization, individual country differently because there are different circumstances that affect. I guess one other theme is that there is this kind of geographical or locational challenge as well. So there are some organizations who, for example, have manufacturing in some of the real epicenters of this outbreak. And unfortunately, it's likely that will change and continue as we see the crisis change its shape over the coming weeks and months. So there are some organizations that are unable to progress their manufacturing or their business focus purely because of the specifics of the geographical issue for them. So it isn't about funding, it isn't about the need for their products, it isn't about the health of their business, it's purely about where they've located manufacturing or distribution or where their workforce is located. So I think those are the themes we're seeing in businesses that we speak to, businesses we support, and organizations around the world.
So, lots going on and what you're saying about employer branding makes perfect sense, and also the uncertainty of where this is all going. But just to focus on the employers who are still recruiting, how are they adapting and how is technology helping them to adapt?
Yeah, sure. So they've been forced to adapt. I think some organizations that are increasing their hiring or continuing their hiring are used to working in a kind of distributed fashion. Many of the tech organizations, tech infrastructure organizations are used to working in a more distributed fashion, are used to leveraging technology such as video interviewing, virtual events and virtual onboarding a lot more than some other organizations. So I think what the first thing that's happening is we're seeing the need for more organizations to kind of enable themselves greater from a technology perspective. So again, much talk about the need for video interviewing as part of a process, and many organizations have not deployed that for many reasons, although we have known for a long time in our industry and our and all of our collective profession that way of working, that technology, that platform is as valid, if not more valid, than some of the other methods that we use in a more traditional recruiting sense. So first and foremost, I think some organizations are being kind of fast-forwarded into a more tech-enabled position. Not everyone is ready for that. And I think we're seeing some interesting behaviors. If I think about the broader market, not just the clients and organizations that Cielo supports, but the broader market, we're seeing distressed purchases around the platforms that organizations want to use, and perhaps if they're not used to leveraging things like video interviewing, that they may not be making the best and right decisions there. One of the things that we've been working with clients on is to say, hey, you guys, you probably have two or three video platforms already native to your organization. Most of us today have GoToMeeting or Zoom or Microsoft Teams or one of those versions. Often that's already in your organization. Often that's already security checked by your IT and compliance teams. And it's often a core platform that many people in the external universe are used to using. So please don't necessarily go out and buy something brand new for this use case. Think about what you already have in your organization. I think organizations are less used to using virtual events and virtual open houses, so some education and some support around those available products and that way of working, I think, is needed in the market at the moment and is key. And likewise for kind of virtual onboarding, making sure we give that kind of great experience. I think those are the three kind of key areas, really. If you think about attracting and engaging your potential workforce, then some kind of virtual event and activity to bring candidates together to understand what you're trying to achieve, the type of organization you are, and right now what the specific challenges are in this crisis, because what you hire for in a normal circumstance might be the type of role and the type of work might be slightly different in today's abnormal world. You think about retail, for example. The typical kind of retail assistance role has changed a great deal under this circumstance. We're starting to really value that role a lot more in the grocery sector. But today, the skills required to operate and work in a grocery store that are a little bit different to what they were perhaps before this crisis. You need to be there to safeguard people's safety. You need to be there to enforce what are slightly more stringent rules than perhaps you had to in the past. Rather than just focusing on the customer is always right and customer experience, today you're focusing on safeguarding well-being, protecting the masses rather than just focusing on individual kind of customer experience. So I think those virtual events, those virtual activities will allow organizations to engage better, but also to allow organizations to describe the different challenges of coming to work for a grocery store, a infrastructure organization during the current current world. So then video interviewing, we talked about, I think, key to giving good experiences. And I know you've talked to many people in your previous shows around how to prepare for those, both on the organizational side and on the candidate side, how to make sure that you get good experiences there. So there's lots of resources out there to help with that. And then the virtual onboarding piece, I think, is critical as well. So, giving a good experience, helping people on board if we are going to, they are going to be part of a virtual workforce and maybe have not been used to working remotely in the past is critical. And there's some good tools out there to help with that approach.
Broadening the conversation out slightly, but sticking with something that I think remains incredibly relevant to the here and now, particularly where employers are using more technology in the recruitment process when the recruitment process is virtual, and also they're looking for skills that they might not have even thought about looking for before. And that issue is one of bias in the recruitment process. And we've had lots of conversations on the show about what biases exist in recruitment, how much of that is conscious, how much of that is unconscious, and whether technology helps to fix that or just helps to amplify that. What's your take on this issue?
Yeah, it can do either is the very short and not very exciting answer to that question. So to expand on that a little bit, I think until we get to, you know, genuine deployment of artificial general intelligence in our, just in our general world, not just in our recruiting world, you know, we're relying on the AI learning from and amplifying, as you say, speeding up the human decision-making process. So whether we're talking about candidate matching, which is where most of, I think, the conversation goes when we talk about bias in technology and recruiting, or maybe augmented advertising writing or job description writing, which is an area where bias can creep in as well. So using natural language to write better job ads or job descriptions, or actually whether we're talking about chatbots and virtual assistants and the personalization element of those tools. I think they're all areas where we can either see some elimination of bias or amplification if we don't think about it correctly. We obviously got the much publicized, I won't mention the organization, but we all know the online organization who had a much publicized challenge with bias when trying to deploy matching and sourcing tools. So I think we need to be careful and make sure that we really understand that what we're doing is making human decisions faster and more efficient through these tools today, because the machines are not thinking for themselves yet. I think there's a couple of areas where we can be deliberate about that. So I think firstly, I would encourage all organizations when they think about deploying, whether it's machine learning or other forms of AI, is to broaden the scope of the conversation outside of just recruitment and HR. So bring in some professionals or some experts who have done this in the consumer world or have done this in the world of marketing or other areas. So, you know, let's not retread the same challenges that our colleagues in marketing or our consumer parts of our organization have faced when it comes to thinking about how we build the algorithms and how we communicate with people and candidates. So that would be my first kind of recommendation, is that let's make sure we take it outside of there to try and eliminate some of the challenges we see when we're talking about the data sets that we want to look at. The other thing is, I think if we're thinking about any area of bias, if it's a pillar of diversity or if it's just a kind of background in terms of type of organization folks are coming from or whatever, right? So not necessarily directly linked to a pillar of diversity, but linked to a sort of diversity element when it comes to skills and knowledge in your organization. I think we need to, as we build these processes, or as organizations build these processes, actually be very aware of what we could be exacerbating when it comes to using the technology. So again, like you said, if the natural bias exists for certain backgrounds or certain demographics, and we're not aware of that, then we run the risk of amplifying that as we build faster decision-making engines and as we automate that process to a greater degree. So I think the first thing in when you're designing this is being aware of that and having that front and center as we think about the algorithms we're looking to design in order to do matching or to in the personalization layer or the other layers, basically.
Just to dig a little bit deeper into that. So we're talking about chatbots and video interviewing and automated matching, all things that are being used extensively now. And as we move forward and organizations are retooling their approach to talent acquisition, moving quicker, trying to do more with less, you know, whatever the future looks like, it's kind of highly likely that these are the technologies that will form the heart of that. We've talked about an employer who didn't do this very well. Are you seeing any employers who are already good at this, and what lessons can we learn from them?
Yeah, I think we're still relatively early into this journey. It feels like much of what we're talking about has been around forever. And as you rightly said, there's a lot of different point solutions out there that are supporting organizations today. I think just taking a step back for a moment, what I don't think we see a lot of success in the broader world at the moment is where organizations can bring those point solutions together into a ecosystem or a platform or a way of managing and running a recruiting talent acquisition engagement process that brings all of these components together. So, you know, I think there's some good examples of where folks are using matching technology today in order to move quickly through mass hiring. So I think if we think about retail, highly distributed, but high volume use cases. So your quick service restaurant organizations, you know, several thousand or tens of thousands of employment locations around the US or in other countries in the world. I think we can see some good use cases there where the mobile enabled, quick apply, quick match, and then quick request and schedule for some kind of interview process is working well. And I think we can say that use case is good. However, that's in a sector and segment where actually folks are used to, you know, walking in, making an application and having an interview, right? Or choosing to go and talk to three or four different employers at one time about an hourly paid role, you know, to supplement income while studying or wherever else. So the use case is specific to both a market and industry and to a kind of candidate demographic. So I don't think we yet see many organizations who are taking all of those point solutions, really leveraging them to the greatest of their ability and using it across different use cases in their own organization. So taking that retail example, that quick service restaurant example, you probably wouldn't want to deploy the same hiring process and same speed of process and same matching and humanless approach if you're hiring a marketing executive into your global headquarters, or if you're hiring a qualified finance professional to be in one of your regional finance centers. So I don't yet see many organizations doing putting it all together and achieving it well. I think it's incumbent on providers like Cielo, incumbent on technology organizations and others in the world to sort of help organizations piece this together. I think, you know, well publicized, there was $6 billion invested in HR tech over the last year or so from venture capital and private equity. I think that possibly serves to make it a more confusing place for HR professionals and talent acquisition teams. I think our role as a partner and others' roles as partners is to help organizations understand how they can bring all of those things together to actually give a good experience and how they can segment that experience depending on the workforce, the use case, the type of role, organization, where they are in the world, those pieces.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more there. It makes perfect sense. And we are very, very much still at the beginning of this journey. I suppose talking about journeys, I look back through my blog archives the other day, and in 2008, I wrote a blog post about the imminent death of the CV. here we are in 2020. We've got all of this technology, all these different ways of working, yet still around the world, recruiting seems to be centered around the CV, which people almost universally agree is not a tool that's very useful. Why is that? And is this ever going to change?
Yeah, I not a very scientific answer, but I think we need somebody or a group of employers to really break rank first, right? some landmark organizations and say we're not interested in the CV, the resume anymore, right? We're interested in some version of a profile so that we get enough information to engage properly with individuals, and that's fine. The document is dead. I, you know, when we look around the world, there's many different formalities to how organizations and people do business. So not just do hiring, but do business in general. You look at the Middle East versus parts of Asia versus the UK and the US, where we would say probably have the first chance to talk about this kind of CV-less or resume-less approach. So, you know, I think what's it going to take? It's going to take a few organizations, few employers to start saying, we're not interested in that document anymore. We're interested in something different. I think the shift to mobile, which we obviously, I mean, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago that we saw, or even further ago, that we saw more applications via mobile than we did, or mobile device than we did via traditional internet connections. So I think the shift to mobile will enable that a little bit. But I think it comes from the employer. It takes the employer to say, we're not interested anymore, because that'll flow down through providers and partners, you know, like ourselves, but also all the way down through to the platforms where folks are putting their CVs, resumes today. So I wish I had a slightly better technical answer for you there, Matt, or a slightly better prediction in terms of time. I suggest that this is probably not going to happen in the next 0 to 3 years. I think if we took a 5-year outlook, we might say by that point we might see the whole, on the whole, the kind of less use of CV and resume. Now, I do think the gig worker piece is gonna potentially contribute to that. Although one of the interesting things that, you know, I've been looking at the moment is the impact of the current crisis on gig workers, because clearly, or the gig economy, because clearly a lot of those workers are impacted pretty significantly as part of this crisis. But it also may shape the growth of kind of gig workers and of the kind of organizational mix of FTE versus contingent versus gig. It may slow that down slightly for a period of time. So I think that also contributes to this kind of notion of this CV document, because as soon as the mix of labor in your organization changes, that'll contribute towards the lack of needing this kind of rather archaic document as well.
So, final question. Making predictions about the future is always difficult, as my inaccurate prediction about the death of the CV 12 years ago proves. making predictions about what the future is going to look like at the moment is probably even more tricky. But give us your perspective on what talent acquisition might look like in sort of 12, 18 months' time.
Yeah, none of us can really predict what the recovery, in air quotes, is going to look like, right? Is it a U? Is it a V? Is it a Nike swoosh? We don't know. What I do think is, once we cycle past this, there's some components that may have been fast tracked as far as talent acquisition is concerned. I think many organizations that felt they needed to have a large, centralized, wholly owned talent acquisition organization are starting to realize that this kind of distributed, tech-enabled, perhaps not entirely directly employed way of thinking about your talent acquisition organization can work. Right, so we're all being forced to realize that distributed way of working can work. The technology tools we've already talked about, more organizations are using those, and I think that the smart organizations, and there's certainly a few out there, are realizing how they start to bring those technologies together to form an actual platform or an ecosystem. Still relatively early in that journey, but I think that's where we'll start to see the rise of the platform in the next 12 to 18 months. And I don't mean a different version of a CRM or an ATS. I genuinely mean an ecosystem where the technologies work together, complement each other, and talent acquisition teams can distribute work seamlessly between each other and organizations they support, whether it's, you know, an outsourced arrangement or a wholly owned arrangement. I think the role of the recruiter, Matt, much like your death of the CV, I think we've talked about the death of the recruiter in its truest sense for many years as well. I still don't see that. I think what we're probably looking at is Recruiter 3.0 or Recruiter X in the future. If we think a little bit about, and I'll use a terrible Marvel analogy now, so I apologize to anyone who is a real Marvel or Avengers fan, but Iron Man and his Jarvis suit, which, you know, is largely about the human being, but is enabled by this kind of exoskeleton with all these capabilities and abilities to go faster and be stronger and process more information and data. I think that's where our recruiter roles will start to go. And again, small numbers, but those leading organizations will start to think about that. So automating more of the non-human tasks, taking them away from the humans to allow the humans to concentrate on the human and valuable tasks from an experience perspective. I think the final thing is we at Cielo, and I think organizations are starting to realize in this crisis, those that didn't, we put experience first. So, you know, whatever we're doing as far as automation, as far as technology goes, the first E in our conversation is experience. And I think that over the years in TA, we've lost that a little bit, right? So we've thought about how we do things faster, how we get cost out of talent acquisition, how we automate to be better at moving more candidates through more processes, and gosh, our application process takes a nanosecond now. While in some circumstances people want to do a 10-minute application process, not a 2-minute application process, because it's relevant for the type of role or the experience. So I think what this crisis is doing, and also the direction of travel, is to bring experience really back to the front of talent acquisition. Now, that isn't at the expense of effectiveness and efficiency. I think we gain those things, but also making sure that when we think about technology, automation, put experience at the front of it, make sure that we know what the experience for the candidate is like, the hiring manager is like, and actually our recruiters and our people that are powering talent acquisition, what's the experience like for those three? If we get it right for those three through using technology and developing the right ways of working for the right use cases, I think that'll accelerate the position of talent acquisition as well. So that's where I think we'll go over the next 12 to 18 months. I hope that organizations recover quickly and successfully, and they can bring the we're all tasked with bringing more people back to work and bringing those folks who are now displaced back to work and getting back on track from a kind of economic perspective as well.
Matt, thank you very much for talking to me.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
My thanks to Matt Jones. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow us on Instagram. You can find the show by searching for Recruiting Future. You can also listen and subscribe to the show on Spotify. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.